Good evening to all of you. And if you would, please turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 1 and chapter 8, similar to how we did this morning, turning to two locations, developing the same theme and focus as we continue now this evening through our Westminster Confession of Faith sermon series. We're on chapter 21, and this may indeed be the final chapter that we go through, depending on what we end up working out with regard to morning series and evening series and so forth. But stay tuned for more on that later. But we come to Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 21, section 6, and we'll be focusing on Proverbs chapter 1. Verses 20 through 33, we'll read that whole section, and then flipping over to Proverbs 8, verses 32 through 36, dealing with wisdom and her call in the public square for us to give heed to wisdom. So let's give heed to wisdom now as we hear living wisdom from God's Word. Let's listen to the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses. At the openings of the gates in the city, she speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate their knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you, because I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded, because you have disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. And then turning over to Proverbs 8, beginning the reading in verse 32. Wisdom speaking again. Now therefore, listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. Since the reading of God's word, let's pray together at this time. Father in heaven, how we thank you that every time we open your word, every time we hear it read, every time we read it for ourselves, it is wisdom. We hear truth. We hear absolute truth. We know more the mind of the living God. Lord, how precious your word. How precious your wisdom. Lord, as we hear these chapters in your word contrasting those who hear wisdom and those who do not, how we thank you for your grace, that you've opened our ears to hear. How we plead that those who have not had their ears opened would, even perhaps this night, hear and heed the call. And Lord, how we tremble at the thought of those who never hear, who never open their ears to wisdom's way. So, Father, would you further write your word and your truth upon our hearts and our minds this evening, having come to the gates of wisdom, having come and heard wisdom's call tonight. So would you bless us to these ends, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Once again, I failed to have the confession reading printed in the evening insert, so if you just want to listen to this section of the confession, I apologize once again. But this is what it says in section 6 of chapter 21. Neither prayer nor any other part of religious worship is now under the gospel, either tied unto or made more acceptable by any place in which it is performed or towards which it is directed, but God is to be worshipped everywhere in spirit and truth, as in private families daily, and in secret, each one by himself, so more solemnly in the public assemblies, which are not carelessly or willfully to be neglected or forsaken, when God by his word or providence calls thereunto. So as we take up this section, the themes that we see in this section of the confession are developing the fact that under the gospel age, there is no particular location that is more holy or sacred than any other. This building is no more holy and sacred than worshiping in a field. You wouldn't want to worship in a field tonight in this cold and in the weather, of course, and so maybe that's why this particular place is a little more blessed, because it's a little bit warmer, and so we're thankful for that. But this sanctuary is no more holy than any other place we would join together and worship. God is to be worshipped all places, everywhere, under the gospel age. And it also goes on to say that we don't worship in any a specific direction under the gospel age either. Now, in the old dispensation, of course, you were to worship toward the west, a picture of God's people being delivered out of paganism, out of the east, and being delivered toward the direction that the Lord set up in the old covenant. But now, we don't worship in any direction or any particular place. We worship as God commands in his word, in spirit and in truth, in private families, in secret, each to ourselves, and then also in the solemn public assemblies when he calls by his word. So the point that we have before us this evening chiefly is that you are to worship the Lord in private, in families daily, but especially when he calls. That's the point. Worship the Lord in private and in families daily, but especially when he calls by his word. So first, God is to be worshipped in private and in families. Here in our two texts, in Proverbs 1 and Proverbs 8, we see wisdom crying out. And she's crying out in the public. She's calling for us to listen. And we see in the opening verses of chapter 1, wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. This is a public call, asking to be heard, hoping that she can bestow her wisdom upon those who will heed her call. And she offers, surely if you hear, surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. A wonderful blessing that she is offering if wisdom would be received. And this must be a reference to more than just wisdom in and of itself, or wisdom for its own sake. It must be a reference to the work of the Holy Spirit. It must be a reference to conversion, which becomes clearer in the latter half of chapter 1 of Proverbs. But this is also true in chapter 8. Flipping over there, we see in verse 35, whoever finds me, wisdom, whoever finds wisdom, finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. And then it's contrasted with those who don't receive wisdom. They love death. They will go down to the grave. It's a contrast. Those who receive the wisdom of God, those who are converted by the truth of God's word, in contrast to those who refuse to receive the truth of God's word. So, of course, there's a personification here. Wisdom is described as a woman calling out. Now, there's some confusion with regard to why wisdom is personified as a woman, because there are places in Proverbs where it's clear that the personification of wisdom parallels the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the question arises in people's mind, if Christ is wisdom incarnate and wisdom is personified in Proverbs as a woman. Why is that okay? Christ isn't a woman, Christ is a man. And while those questions are fine to ask and to wrestle through, I think it's missing the point of what's taking place in Proverbs here. You see, this is wisdom from Solomon to his son. It's a father conveying wisdom to a son. And there are two women who chiefly cry out in the book of Proverbs. There's the adulterous woman who's trying to lure the son and trying to get him to come to the deception, the deceit of her bed. And it's not just with regard to sexual sin that's speaking of. It's the lure of wickedness and lies and deceit. And then the contrast is the crying of wisdom, seeking the attention of that young man. And so the question is, will we be lured by the adulterer? Will we be lured by the false ways of the world? Or will we hear the truth of wisdom, of God's truth, of God's word? Both are competing for our attention, if you will. Now, the point of these chapters is if we listen to wisdom, if we diligently seek wisdom when she calls, there is blessing in that. And that's the way that we avoid being lured by the false ways of the world. And then we see in our passage, specifically in chapter 8, verse 34, that we are to watch daily at the gates of wisdom. Now, the fact that wisdom is crying out in the public square, wisdom desiring to be received and to be pursued, there is certainly the association we can have with this of public worship, the calling of wisdom in public worship. And yet we see that we are to pursue wisdom daily. Now, that doesn't mean that we have to go to public worship every single day. That's not the view of the Scriptures. That's not the view of our particular passages. And so then there is a call to worship the Lord daily. There's a call to seek the Lord in His Word daily. We are to seek His truth every single day, and that is to take place privately and in families. Now, to this, some may say, well, you can't find a single command in all of Scripture to have a quiet time. Well, that's true. You can't find a single proof text for that. And some may say, we can't find a single proof text in all of Scripture that we have to practice family worship the way that we understand it and the way that we seek to practice it. And that's true. You can't find a proof text like that. But we see here in our passage the expectation to seek God's wisdom daily. We also see in Deuteronomy 6 the expectation that we shall teach God's truth to our children daily, when we walk, when we sit down, when we rise up, and we shall bind them on our hands and between our eyes, and we shall write them on the doorposts of our house and on our gates. We are to be pursuing the truth of God's word in private and in families daily. God desires us to seek His truth, not just in public worship, but in our homes. Now, I don't think that there's much contention with that point in our circles. I don't think that there are people in our ranks really chafing at that. No, I absolutely refuse to seek God's word daily and to seek Him in families. And we heard this objection in very conservative circles. Show me the proof text that we are to have daily devotions, or show me the proof text that we are to have family worship. And the point is that God expects, there's an expectation in His word, that we are to worship Him privately, that we are to worship Him in our families, and we are to worship Him corporately. We see that expectation and that implication throughout all of Scripture. Now, I want to point out to you that the confession speaks of private and family worship as worship. That we are to worship the Lord in private and in families daily. And it refers to it as worship. Now you might say, well, what's the big deal about that? Well, we're dealing with the section chapter 21, that begin with the regulative principle of worship, 21:1, where it says in the confession that God is to be worshiped as he institutes in his word. He's the one who determines how he is to be worshiped. And then just a few sections later, we get to private and family and corporate worship. And it's in the section that God is the one who determines how he is to be worshiped. And the confession says that we worship in private and in families and corporately. And the point of our confession then is that anytime God is worshiped, anytime and anywhere, it is to be determined by him. God is the one who says how he is to be worshiped. It's not as though God only cares about public worship. And then in private, you can go and bow down to a golden calf. Of course not. That's ludicrous, right? It's not as though God desires you to pray in Jesus' name in public, but in your private prayer closets and in your families, you can pray in any name that you deem appropriate. I think we see the silliness of such a position, right? And so, therefore, the point of the confession is that God regulates his worship, and we are to approach him the way that he desires to be worshiped, in private, in families, and in public. We do not believe in the regulative principle of public worship. No, we believe in the regulative principle of worship. Wherever and however God is worshiped, he is to be worshiped as he desires in his word. But then let us focus more specifically on the fact that we need to worship him daily. Notice again in our section of Proverbs chapter 8, "Now therefore, listen to me," in verse 32, "my children. For blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors." Do you hear the blessing that God is speaking of here? If you hear me, if you don't disdain my instruction, listen to the blessing that you will receive if you wait daily upon wisdom. This is wisdom's daily call and wisdom's daily blessing. Now, Jesus, of course, expects that we will be engaging in private worship and personal worship. He says this in the Sermon on the Mount, "When you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father in secret." And so Jesus expects, of course, that we will be seeking him daily, privately. But again, wisdom states that if you do this, you will be blessed if you seek her in such a way. Now, additionally, the Scriptures call us to pray without ceasing, and of course, that implies that we ought to be about the work of praying individually in our personal prayer life and our personal worship life, but we also ought to be reading regularly and singing regularly in private as well as corporately. And so when you come before God privately, do you just pray? Or do you just read? Do you sing as well? Are you coming before the Lord privately and seeking to lay hold of wisdom as she desires to be laid hold of? Or are you just reading? "Well, yes, I'm reading. I'm getting my reading out of the way." You see, perhaps we're not getting as much out of our prayer lives and our scripture reading and our singing times because we're not putting in a whole lot of effort to pursue wisdom. She wants to be found, but we must seek after her. But then what of families? What of seeking God daily in our families? We saw the command of Deuteronomy 6, but is that the only place that we see God expecting that we seek him daily in families besides this oblique reference here in Proverbs chapter 8? Well, isn't, after all, Deuteronomy chapter 6 just calling us to talk about God's truth and converse about these things as we're walking along the way and doing other things, and we're not actually called to engage in family worship the way in which we understand it to be practiced? Well, let me point out just kind of the breadth of the Scriptures as far as how it views heads of households leading their families in worship. Job, in Job chapter 1, verse 5, is commended in that text for leading his family in worship. And he did so regularly. It says this in Job chapter 1, verse 5. So it was when the days of feasting had run their course that Job would send and sanctify them, his family. And he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all, his family. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did regularly. And that is given there in Job chapter 1 as a commendation of his character, that he would lead regularly his family in worship. Same with David. David led his family in worship. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 18 specifically says that he led his family in worship, and yet his wife Michal despised that. And then Cornelius, in Acts chapter 10, verse 2, was commended for being a devout man who led his family, led his household in the fear of God and prayed to God always. It's a picture, of course, of Cornelius leading his household in worship. So once again, we can say, well, God doesn't say anywhere in His Word that we must lead our families every day in worship, in family worship, the way that we understand it and the way that we practice it. Well, true, we can't find a proof text as such, but we see the expectation. We see God commending it. We see the value of it. And after all, the Word of God is our very life, brothers and sisters. Would we ever forego other aspects of our very life and try to argue why that's okay? Would we ever forego eating and feeding our family every single day? Of course, maybe you miss a day here or there. Maybe you do so for the sake of fasting every now and then. But you're not going to skip weeks. You're not going to skip months. You're not going to skip years, or you'll be dead. And we wonder why our children don't walk with the Lord. And we wonder why our homes are disorderly and insubordinate. Well, if we fail to feed our families nourishing food, would we wonder why they're taking ill? We need to be nourishing our households in wisdom. And we need to avail ourselves of this rich blessing. God desires us to do so. And God blesses us when we do so. Oh, that we would lead our families in worship daily. And if you're not doing so, just start small. Don't pick up Matthew Henry's commentary and go off for 45 minutes lecturing your family. Read a short passage and discuss it and pray. Sing a psalm. You might say, well, we can't sing. Okay, don't sing. Chant then, whatever. Take 10 minutes. Take 10 minutes. You might say, well, we don't have kids. How can I lead my family in worship? They're grown and gone. Well, you're still a family unit. You might say, well, there's only one of me. You're still a family unit. Engage in the morning and evening sacrifice. Or you might say, well, we have too many kids and our schedules are all over the place and too many ages. We can't do family worship. Find a time when the most people are there, and for 10 minutes, open the Bible, talk about it, and close in prayer. Listen to the blessing. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. Why would we forsake this beautiful blessing? Why would we forego the very life giving food every day? But we also must especially worship the time that God calls. In all of this that we've been talking about here this evening, wisdom is calling out in the streets. She's saying, listen, give attention to me. And what she says in chapter 1, she cries out in the chief concourses at the openings of the gates in the city, and she speaks her words. How long will you enjoy being simple and not listening to me? And then as she goes on and she says, this is verse 32, for the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them, but whoever listens to me will dwell safely. There's this destruction that comes upon those who do not listen, but blessing to those who do listen. And if what we just finished saying is true, that we aren't to neglect the private and family worship, how much more ought we not neglect God's word when he calls by his word to the public assemblies? The confession says that these public assemblies are more solemn occasions and that they are important to the life of the people of God. And we can see very obviously that they are explicitly commanded in his word not to be forsaken. We were wrestling and wrangling with the texts a little bit to show that God expects private worship and family worship. We don't have to wrangle at all to see that God commands public worship. Hebrews chapter 10, we are not to give up the meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. And much better to encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. We must be listening to wisdom's call as she calls out publicly each week to come and hear wisdom's ways. And we ought to look around. And if we find that there are not our friends in worship that were in worship or that we desire to have in worship, let us not leave the encouragement of one another to the preaching and the work of the elders alone. If you see someone missing, reach out in love like Psalm 122 and say, let's go up to the house of God together. As you look around in the evening worship, are there people who used to regularly come in the evening and you haven't seen them in a while? Would you ask them why? Why don't you come anymore? I love seeing you. I love having you there. It's so much better with you there. You see, God's house is to be called a house of prayer, you see in Scripture. But it's also to be a house of Scripture and a house where the Word is read and where the Word is expounded. It's a house of God's people where we are to be together to fellowship and be blessed. And we heard last week that the word, when it's read, ought to be heard eagerly. And it says in the Scriptures that in the early church, the Christians devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. Is that word descriptive of you as well? Are you devoted to the public worship of God? Absolutely devoted. At the times when he calls. And you might wonder, well, when does he call? Any times that the elders have appointed and we hear the call to worship read, the word calls us. Are we heeding wisdom's call? Do we hear her crying in the street? And if we hear her crying in the street and we fail to heed her call, do you hear what she says? Because I have called and you refused. I've stretched out my hand, no one regarded. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. If wisdom is calling and we do not heed her when she calls, if God's word is calling us and we do not listen to God when he calls. Friends, let me ask this very serious and sobering question, because this is the meaning of the text. Why would he listen to you when you call upon him in prayer? If we don't listen to him when he calls us by his word, why would he listen to us when we call upon him? You don't heed wisdom when she calls, then why should I heed you in your time of need, is essentially what God is saying to his people. How do you regard God's house of prayer? Because how you regard it is how God will regard your prayers. But listen to this. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. And this For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. Friends, do you desire the life that God gives? The blessing that God gives? The answer to prayer that God promises and offers? And let's seek Him. Let's seek Him privately. Let's seek Him in families daily. And let's seek Him especially corporately. But let us seek Him when He calls. Every time He calls. And let us delight that He can be found in His Word. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, how we thank You that You call. You could leave us in silence and darkness. What a grace that it is that You call. What a grace it is that You offer Your Word. In fact, what a grace it is that the Word became flesh and clearly demonstrated that call and that gracious offer. Oh, how thankful we are for the gospel even glimpsed in that call of wisdom. And Lord, may we be people who heed the call. May we be devoted to Your wisdom and Your truth, privately, in families, and corporately. May we be people of the book, O God. May we truly be wise according to wisdom's ways. So continue to teach us Your truth through all of the means that You've appointed, privately, in families, and corporately. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.